Bruchim Abayim, and welcome to another week of Parsha Insights. L'zecha Nishmas u'le'ilei Nishmas. Rebecca Bas Serina and Leon Ben Rachel, may the Neshama Tahira Zohabin lichtige Gan Eden. It's always an honor to be able to give the shir. We can't say this week in the Heichal, but in Gan Ariel. And for those who are listening now live on the recording, who I just spoke with you a moment ago, and for those who will hear the recording wherever they might be listening, it's always a very big schus. Parsha Insights, Parsha's Balak. There's so much to talk about in Parsha's Balak. I know some people have reached out to me during the week that they've listened to some of the recordings of the last number of years of our Parsha Insights. There are a number of ways to find it. I've only found out over the last couple of weeks there's so many different avenues and venues where the Shir is Baruch Hashem found, and I have people asking me about what I said Balak last year and a few years ago, and I don't always remember the Pshatim, so I myself want to listen to some of the earlier Pshatim. But to be able to give it each and every week, remember not only to get Chizuk from the Parsha, but to be Mechazik our Shabbos Kodesh. Shabbos is the Makar HaBrocha, Rabbi Yisai. And I ask you all the time, say over some of the Torah on Shabbos, say it at your Sudais, say it to family, make it a discussion so that Be'ezus Hashem, that will enable the Shir to take wings and continue going weiter and weiter. I already mentioned your parents' name, so once again in your presence, may their Neshama Torah have a lichtige Gan Eden. Yashar Koach for the sponsorship. There's so much to talk about in Parshas Balak. Oy, where do we begin? It's not going to be, per se, the topic for tonight's Shir. A number of years ago, I mentioned the famous pshat from Abder Rebbe. It's a well-known pshat. I say it to begin the Parsha Shir tonight just to show you how much we have to learn from the Parsha. It's a well-known story. It's said that every week the great Oyev Yisrael, the Abder Rebbe, known by the name of his Sefer, Oyev Yisrael, every week when he would speak by Tish, week in, week out, he spoke about the topic of Ahavas Yisrael. Could you imagine every single week, whatever the parsha was, Noyach, Vayeshev, Boi, Truma, Vayikra, Shmini, Bamidbar, Matos, Devorim, Vezchana, Vezayzabracha, it didn't make a difference. Every week the theme was the same, Ahavas Yisrael. Certainly a theme that we should talk about as we're approaching the 3 weeks. For we know that the Churban Habayi Sheni happened because of Sinas Chinam. The antithesis is Ahavas Yisrael and learning to care and be concerned one for another. It's Friday night, Parshas Balak. And they asked the Rebbe, where are you going to come up with the topic of Ahavas Yisrael in this week's Parsha? Balak is a Parsha of wickedness, of wanting to curse Chalil B'nai Yisrael. Balak, such Rishayim, where are you going to come up with Ahavas Yisrael in this week's Parsha? And on the spot, Abder Rebbe said, Ahavas Yisrael this week. It's the ultimate. Volok, Veiz Lamed Kuf, as Rashi Tevasan stands for, the quintessential pasuk of loving and getting along, the Ahavta, L'Reyacha, Kamoicha. And I'm looking at the expression on some of your faces, and it's actually correct. They turned to the Rebbe and said, what? The Ahavta starts with a Vav, and Volok is a Vase. The first letter of Kamoicha is a Chof, and the last letter of Volok is a Kuf. How do you say Balak is Rosh HaTeilas V'Hachmoyecha Kamacha? He turned to his Chassidim and said, that's exactly the point. When it comes to Ahavas Yisrael, don't be so medaktik. Don't be so particular. You're going to be so particular and so medaktik and scrutinize, you'll never get to Ahavas Yisrael. So Balak is a Vase and V'Hachta is a Vav. No. So Balak is a Kuf and Kamacha is a Chof. So no. We're not to be so medaktik. Of course, we have to do our utmost to follow the Dal Chelke Shulchan Aruch. And if a Yid doesn't yet know from that beauty, do whatever we can to be makar of them. But within Klal Yisrael, there's so many, whether one is from a Hasidish or Litvish background, Ashkenaz or Sfarad, Havara this way or Havara that way, don't be so medaktik. If Volo could stand for V'Havt L'Recha Kamoicha, it behooves us to learn quite a bit from Parshas Balak, does it not? Certainly as we approach the 3 weeks. So I want to share with you something extraordinary that moved me greatly that I was zoicha to see today. And again, it's just another davar and another dimension, Leilei Nishmas, your parents, that were able to learn from Balak. Obviously, when dealing with Balak, we right away take a look at the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. In fact, it was this past week's perek, Perek Hey, the fifth perek in Pirkei Avos. But I want you to listen. I'm not going to make you open the Siddurim, but please listen to the verbiage very well. Kol Shemi Sheyesh B'yadei Shleish Dvarim Halalu. Whoever has the following three traits, Humi Talmida Shel Avram Avinu, he's one of the disciples of Avram Avinu. U'shloisha Devorim Acherim, and if you have a different three traits, Humi Talmida Shel Bilam HaRasha. One is from the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. What are those three traits that make you from the disciples of Avram Avinu? Ayin Toiva, Ruach Nemucha, and nefesh shafal. You have to learn to have a good eye, a humble spirit, and a meek soul. And what would make you from the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha? Ayin ra, ruach gevoya, nefesh rechava. The antithesis of those three. You have an evil eye, an arrogant spirit, and a greedy soul. I think the Mishnah is straightforward enough. I think there are a number of questions that we have to ask, and what we just said seemingly is a very straightforward Mishnah. A few of them I read today in a beautiful piece that I mentioned to you that I saw, and I'd like to add a couple. I think it's going to total about four questions, and then we'll try to give an answer. And the answer is based on something that the Tolna Rebbe says. Let me repeat what the Mishnah said. Basically, outside, in fact, looking here, is Perek, hey, Pasuk, excuse me, Mishnah Chav Beis and Pirkei Avos. If you have the following three midas, you're from the disciples of Avram Avinu. And if you have the other three, you are from the Talmidim of Bilam HaRasha. Let's begin the questions. Number one, perhaps the most glaring question. And I ask you, as I said, whether you're listening now in the Gan or on the phone or in the live recording or the one that's sent out, wherever it might be, please listen to the questions well. Number one. Why does the Mishnah seem to imply that this is the exhaustive list of differences between Avram and Bilam? These are the only three differences between Avram Avinu and Bilam HaRasha? Avram Avinu had an Ayin Taiva, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefala. Bilam was the quintessence of Ayin Ra, Nefesh Gevoya, and Ruach Gevoya, excuse me, Nefesh Rechava. And that's it? There were no other differences between them? Certainly, at the very least, Avram Avinu was a quintessential tzaddik, and Bilam was the ultimate Rasha. That would lead to countless differences between the two. So is the Mishnah implying that these are the only three differences? These are the only three that differentiate between one and the other? That's impossible. I mean, the list, by any lawyer's standard, would have to be a long list. Yet the Mishnah seems to imply there are only these three. Or is the Mishnah just listing a partial list? Because I don't get that feeling. Another question, also a very powerful question, a question that I have heard in the past. If these are the differences between Avraham himself and Bilam himself, then what is the Mishnah doing with the verbiage and phraseology? Look at the differences between Talmidav Shel Avram Avinu and Talmidav Shel Bilam HaRasha. Who's talking about the disciples of? I'm talking about the differences, the stark differences between two people, Avraham and Bilam. And yet the Mishnah seems to couch it and disguise it in the verbiage, the differences between the Talmidim of Avraham and the Talmidim of Bilam. Who's talking about the Talmidim? Let me bring to your attention, because this third question that I'm raising, I believe the Meshech Chochma speaks about it elsewhere, is very much part of the answer we're going to be giving. So I'm just giving it to you as a third question, or perhaps as a second part to the second question. Why over here, when referencing Avram, does it say Avram Avinu? If you take a look earlier in the parak, And other times that his name is mentioned, it's merely mentioned as Avraham. Why in this particular case, if you take a look, go back to the beginning of the Perek, Asara Dairais Minayach Va'ad Avraham. Why over here does it not merely call him Avraham, but it goes out of its way to say Avraham Avinu? I believe that's the third question. Another interesting question just from the grammar that caught my attention. The Mishnah says, Kol mi sheyesh biyadei shloisha dvarim halalu. Anyone who has these three traits, and it goes on to tell you what the traits are. And then the next part of the Mishnah regarding Bilam says, Ushloisha Dvarim Acherim, but if you have the other three, that's an interesting way to word it. Why not symmetrically stay the same? Kol mi sheyesh biyadei shloisha dvarim halalu. You're from Avraham. V'chol mi sheyesh biyadei shloisha dvarim halalu. You're from Bilam. Be symmetrical. Linguistically, if you said halalu there, say halalu here. You got these three or you got these three? And yet it seems to be listing it as shloisha dvarim acherim. What does that mean? And lastly, I realize with this fifth question, it's turning more into a shiur on Pirkei Avos than on Parshas HaShavua, so be it. The last question, I think that list, whether it's all exhaustive or not, was crystal clear. Three here and three there. Then all of a sudden, the Mishnah starts again, Ma bein talmidav shel Avraham Avinu l'talmidav shel Bilam HaRasha. What is the difference between the talmidim of Avraham and the talmidim of Bilam HaRasha? What did I miss? You just spoke about that. Now I'm staring at the sinner inside. That's the first half of the Mishnah. Whoever has these three traits that I told you, the Ayin Toiva, the Ruach Nemucha, the Nefesh Shefala, you're mitalmidav shel Avraham. Whoever has the other ones, Ayin Ra, Ruach Yavaya, Nefesh Rechava, you're from the Talmidim of Bilam. I couldn't be more clear. The Mishnah was perfectly specific. If you got these, you're this, and you got these, you're... And all of a sudden, as if we didn't say anything, the Mishnah seems to say, Ma bein Talmidav shel Avraham, the Talmidav shel Bilam. What's the difference between the disciples of this and that? You just spent half a Mishnah clearly, without any ambiguity, listing it. So what's the Mishnah now asking? And by the way, it goes on to give a different answer. Talmidim shall Avram oichlem ba'olam hazav and oichlem ha'olam haba. They're going to go ahead and be able to enjoy this world and oilam haba, whereas those who are the Talmidim and disciples of Bilam, yarshim gehenim v'yardim liber shachas, they are destined for gehenim. Stamazai, that's a separate answer. Allow me less than a minute to quickly recap all of the questions. Obviously, to enjoy the shir and the Mishnah far more, look at what inside when you're at home. Question number one, these are the only differences. It can't be an all-exhaustive list. Question number two, if this was the difference between Avraham and Bilam, why does it seem to focus instead and couch it the disciples of? Who's speaking about disciples? Ha'ara number three refers to Avram over here as Avraham Avinu. Number four, why is it that it referred to the three traits by Avram, Eshleish, Dvarim, Halalu, but by Bilam, it didn't want to say the word Halalu. It didn't want to say these. It couches it in the linguistic expression, Eshleish, Dvarim, Achir, the other. You're not allowed to say the word Halalu? And lastly, after telling me the clear, stark differences, as if it's totally oblivious, the Mishnah starts again. And so what are the differences? What do you mean, what are the differences? I just finished telling you. I believe those five are very, very valid questions. So as I told you, the Tone the Rebbe gives an answer. It's absolutely a breathtaking answer. And I want to expound upon the answer of the Tone the Rebbe and perhaps add some stories and some Divrei Torah to bring out and enhance, add to what he's saying. The Talmud Rebbe says that when the Mishnah is listing these three qualities, the Mishnah is by no means giving us the sum total of the differences between them. Because as per our question, there's got to be far more differences between Avram and Bilam. One was the quintessential paradigm of Chesed. Chesed! Have I mentioned Chesed yet once the Shir started? One was the ultimate tzaddik, and the other a Rasha. So he says these three are certainly not the sum total of the differences. Rather, he explains in vivid, colorful detail, these three midos, these three quality traits, they are the entire makeup that lay the foundation and lay the groundwork that results in all of the other differences. All of the other myriad of differences, all of the countless differences that we could speak about. He did chesed, he didn't. He was a tzaddik, he was a rasha. He led this type of life, he wasn't. He was destined for Olam Haba, he wasn't. Every difference, fill up an entire notebook with differences between Avram and Bilam. The foundation, the yesod, the core, the underpinning that explains their differences is, do you have these three or don't you? These three are not merely suggested reading material for your summer enjoyment. These three are not merely, want like a smorgasbord to pick and choose qualities. These three are obligatory. These three are the very underpinnings of who we have to be. And if you have these three, in other words, if you learn to have an ayin tova, could we speak endlessly about an ayin tova? If you learn to have a ruach nemucha, if you learn to have a nefesh shefala, that brings about all of the myriad of differences. And if you have the other three, nebach, sofer liyerish gehenim. In other words, as the Talmud Rebbe continues, the Mishnah is not talking about what are the differences as much as the Mishnah speaking out. How does one emulate Avram Avinu? In fact, how did Avram Avinu, with the difficult beginning that he had with his father, the simple beginning, Avram Avinu was the first to be makir Hashem and recognize Hashem. How did he go ahead from that simple beginning and become who he became? And conversely, how is it that Bilham, who started off with a very high spiritual beginning, ended up sinking to such low depths that he did? How did that happen? How did one go from low to the very highest and the other go from the very highest to the very low? That's what the Mishnah is addressing. The Mishnah is addressing a difference in their life. You could become an Avram Avinu with such a meteoric rise if you have the three foundational midos. And if you have the other three, that could explain so much of the life of Bilam. We certainly answered in vivid detail the opening question. No, these are not the only three differences that there are. These three, as I said, from the Talmud Rebbe explain the entire makeup of Avram became, and the entire makeup of who Bilam became, one who went to the lowest to the highest and the other just the opposite, which resulted in a myriad of the differences, is because of those three midos that a person must have. And obviously, if we wanted, we could spend an endless amount of time discussing the three midos we have to have. I repeat, these aren't merely three midos. They are the very DNA of who we end up becoming. Ayin Tova, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefala. You know, the Tzad Hashav of those three, to have a good eye, a humble spirit, a meek soul, is someone who's not interested in just themselves, but who cares about others. So maybe it wasn't such a far stretch to say that Bullock stands for V'haflerecha Kamaicha. One of my favorite pshatim about Ayin Tova. Have a good eye. You know, the opposite, that eye that's so wicked towards people, that can't forgive anybody, that despises everyone's successes, jealousy, envy. It's the root of a large part of evil. I remember we commented, there was once a sign that says, when I do something right, no one remembers. When I do something wrong, no one forgets. That is a despicable way to live. Despicable. You constantly are there for a person nobody remembers. And the one time perhaps you make a mistake, nobody forgets that. How about if we start living with, if I did something wrong, you could forget, but when I do it right, please remember. Mayrai v'rabbosai, it stems from an ayin tova. I want to tell you before we go on, a pshat from the Radomsky Rebbe. I tell you in advance, it's one of my favorite pshatim. With this pshat of the Tolna Rebbe, I understand the Radomsky Rebbe's pshat on an even deeper level. Let me tell you the pshat, and then I'll tell you why I understand it even better. The Pasuk says in that famous kapitel of Tehillim, Me'isha chaveis chayim, ayev yamim liras toiv, netzor l'shoin chamero, u'svasech medaber mirma. I'm sure we've heard that in a song or as a Pasuk thousands of times. Hence the name of the Sefer, Chafetz Chaim. Really, what the Pasuk in Tehillim means is the first sentence is a question. Mi ha'isha chafetz chayim, who's the man who wants life? Oyev yamim lirais toiv. Who loves days and wants to see good? That's a question. And the answer is, Nitzar l'shayn chamera, be careful with how you speak. Question and answer. Says the Radomsky Rebbe Zechusi Yagan Aleinu, that whole sentence that you read as a question, it's not all a question. The beginning is a question. The end is the answer. And on a totally different way, he reads the pasuk to mean like this. Who's the person who wants life? Who's the person who loves days and wants to live? The answer is, learn to see the good in other people. Lirais Toiv is not part of the question, according to the Radomsky Rebbe. It's the answer. Let's say it again. Who's the one who loves life? Who's the one who wants life and loves days? The answer is Lirais Toiv. Learn to be someone who has an Ayin Toiva, who sees the good in others. Come on, Rabbi Sai. It's imperative that we start doing that. And if we do it, then do it even better. Now with the pshat of the Tolna Rebbe, I understand the Radomsky even more. The Radomsky Rebbe is not merely telling us that Lirais Toiv, to see the good in others, is a nice midah. It's a very fine quality. Oh, it's on my recommended summer reading for enjoyment. According to the way the Tolna Rebbe explains Ayin Tova, that it's the underpinning and the foundation and the DNA and the very core of the rest of what you will become or not become, that's the way to understand the Radomsky Rebbe. Do you want life? Do you want to be able to live in this world and accomplish? Do you want to be able to fulfill all of everything of goodness? The answer is Lirais Toiv. Lirais Toiv does not just mean see the good in others as a nice quality. Lirais Toiv means that by becoming someone who's Lirais Toiv, that's Chaim, that's life, that's the underpinning of our whole foundation. And the same is true for the other two qualities, Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefala. Humble people care about others. I believe it was from Rav Gifter. We were talking earlier. Sure, I think it was a pshat from Rav Gifter. The pupil of the eye is called an ishon. Now, in Lashon HaKodesh, when you have a vav and an end of nun at the end of the word, it means the thing, but a smaller form of. So why would the pupil be called an Ishon? It's like the word Ish, which means man, with the added Vav and end of Nun. So I believe he said so beautifully, if let's say, Bob, I'm looking at you, you'll take off your glasses, you'll look at me. When I look at your eyes, at the pupil of your eyes, I actually see a much smaller image of myself. And when you look into my pupils, it's only like almost like a mirror, you know that you'll see a smaller image of yourself. Hence, that's why it's called Ishon. Ish with a Vav and a Nun, a smaller one, because when we look into each other's pupil like a mirror, we see a form of ourselves, but much smaller. Hence the word Ishon for pupil. I believe it was Rav Gifter who said, because when you look at another person, put yourself small, meaning it's not about you. It's about the other person. Don't be going over to the other person and make it only about yourself. That's mamish what it means to have the quality of a ruach hamucha nefesh shefala. I care about you. I want to hear what's going on with you. When I face you, I'll take a back seat, so to speak, and make a small myself, and you do the same. I remember hearing a maisa a number of years ago. I didn't have a chance to confirm it, but one thing I could tell you, it certainly could be a true maisa. Apparently, there was some big professor, I don't know if he was literally from Philadelphia or his whereabouts, but he heard so much about the Gadol Hador of Shmuel Kamenetsky, Zoller Gesunden Starkzein, that he wanted to meet him. And somehow this happened, but a few years ago, a meeting was set up with this big professor and the Gadol Hador. I don't know, as I heard the Maisa, they were in the room together, the two of them, 3/4 of an hour. And when this extremely famous professor came out from the almost hour-long meeting with our Gadol Hador of Shmuel Kamenetsky, some people must have asked him, what did you see? Tell me about the meeting. What was your impression? Whatever it was. And of course, he went on to speak about extraordinary things. But then he ended by saying, to me, though, the most impressive thing when I spoke to that giant of a man, that leader of Jewry, was that in the almost hour we spoke, he never once used the word I. I'm going to repeat that. Because when you and I have an hour conversation with someone, I would imagine that we each use the word I and me, I don't know, dozens if not hundreds of times. But by Reb Shmuel, it was never about himself. It's about the other person. It's about helping a Yid. It's about we. It's about us. It's about Kol Yisrael. He said the most impressive thing about that leader was in nearly an hour, he never once used the word I. And I don't mean the I as in Ishon. I mean the I as in I and me. That's mamish the quality of Ayin Toiva, Ruach Nemucha, and Nefesh Shefala. And that's what the Radomski Rebbe means, and that's what the Tolna Rebbe means. These qualities are not merely traits. They are the very foundation that brings about the myriad of differences. Rabbi say, before we get to the final part of the share, I don't know if you've realized, but we've answered multiple of the questions. We certainly answered the glaring question, the first one, are these three the only differences between the two? No, they're not the only differences. But these three are what bring about and create all the others. That question answered. I believe we answered another question as well. Certainly the last question we asked when we said, why in the world does the Mishnah at the end say, and so what's the difference between Avram and Bilam, as if we didn't ask it already when we did? No, 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 no. The second time the Mishnah's asking, Ma bein tamid shel Avram avinu tamid shel Bilam arasha, based on the pshat I said, it's not merely repetitive and asking the same question again. So what are the differences? I already took care of that 5 lines earlier. Now it's asking based on the pshat of the Tolna Rebbe. So according to those differences, what in the blueprint of life will it bring on a larger scale? Those three differences. He has this one, and he has that one, ma bein ze leze. On the larger scale of life, in the grander picture of life, what differences will become manifest from those three you just mentioned? I really believe that's the pshat in why the Mishnah repeats the question. Otherwise, you have, what do you know what the differences are? I just told you. No. Now I'm asking, those differences, how do they manifest itself? What's going to be if A has this and B has the other three? And to that, the Mishnah says, when you got the three midos of Avraham Avinu, you are now acquiring Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Indeed, all of life. And when you have the other three, one is from Yarshim Gehenim. So we're not asking what the differences are. We're asking, so now what the difference is, when you fast forward, how does it manifest itself for the rest of life? I think it also answers a question that linguistically bothered me. When talking about the three good qualities, it says Shleishat Devarim Halalu. And when it talks about the three that are so negative, why doesn't it say Shleishat Devarim Halalu? It says Shleishat Devarim Acherim. I think the answer might be, you know, sometimes there are words that we don't want. Don't say that. I'll tiftach peh. Don't say that. I'll tiftach peh with something. You know, there are some words that we stay away from that we don't even want to say. I think that might be what the Mishnah is teaching us. If these three were just midos that are negative, I would say, you got Shleisha Dvarim Halalu, or you got Shleisha Dvarim Halalu. These three are these three. But Halalu almost implies like, okay, there are these three, and if you have them, you have them. No. We don't even really want to say these three. So instead of saying the word Halalu, we couch it in the more innocuous term, Shleisha Dvarim Acherim. Those other things. You know, like there are certain words that we don't want to say, we stay away from. So we say, no, I'll tip-tock back. I don't want to say the word, but you know what I mean. We find that from time to time. Maybe that's why when the Mishnah is being written, it doesn't say about the negative three, Shleisha Dvarim Halalu. That's a little too much direct. These three. No, I don't even want to reference these three. So instead, I merely say Acherim, as if they're out there. And now for the only two questions we didn't yet answer to conclude the shiur. Perhaps, Rabbi Yisai, honestly, my favorite part. And I would like to give credit to the Sefer and set of Svarim that I say very often, Avnei Kodesh, that's a treasure chest of extraordinary Divrei Torah, Svarim that are mamish priceless. While this pshat is not yet in Avnei Kodesh, hopefully Be'ezus Hashem, this that I'm mentioning will be in the third and upcoming volume, hopefully Be'ezus Hashem. And to me, it's the favorite part. What is the glaring question we didn't yet answer? If these are the differences between Avraham himself and Bilam himself, then why does it constantly speak about Talmidav Shel Avraham? Talmidav Shel Bilam. Who's talking about disciples? I'm talking about they themselves. Avram possessed these three, and Bilam possessed the other three. So what does it mean, Talmidav? So the Tolma Rebbe concludes, the way the Avnei Kodesh understands it so beautifully, the Mishnah is teaching us that if you have these three midos, you become Mi Talmidav Shel Avraham. In other words, it's not only that Avraham was able to achieve these three midos. The Mishnah goes out of its way to use the word Talmidav Shel Avraham Avinu to say, we also could become a Talmud. We too could tap into those three midos. And by the way, that answers the final question we asked, why in so many other places does it say Avraham? And this is one of the rare times that it says Avraham Avinu. Why? You can look, the Meshech Chochma speaks about this in the beginning of the Perek. Because whenever you find the word Avraham Avinu, it means to say Avinu. He's our father. He's our father. And a father means that which he had is in our DNA to become. And that's why it says it here, Avinu, Avinu, Avinu. These traits of Ayin Toiva and Ruach Nemucha, Nefesh Shefala, were not only for him. He's Avinu. We are his Talmidim. And if we are his Talmidim, then we, too, can acquire these three traits. These three traits of life. That's why it says specifically here, Avraham Avinu. He's Avinu. These three qualities of life, for life, life itself, are entrenched in our DNA. And if he's Avinu, we're his Talmidim, we're his children, that means that we as well, we can do it as well. We have the ability to tap into all of those qualities that are so life-changing. And that's Taka the Pshat when it says not just Avinu, but Mi Talmidav Shel Avram Avinu. And conversely, unfortunately, Talmidav Shel Bilam. A person could learn these Midas Halalu or Chalila Acherim. When we make these Midas a part of ourselves, it's living up to Avram Avinu. Abay say, that's the wonderful news. Talmidav, we are his students, we are his children, we are his disciples, and as such, I conclude the shir by reminding you, we can do it too. I really hope as we're approaching next week's Shivasar in the beginning of the 3 weeks, we said when we benched Rish Chodesh a few weeks ago, it's hard to believe that we're going to be starting another 3 weeks in Golus again. And with what a type of year. So much to think about and so much to change. The 3 weeks afford us an extraordinary opportunity. I give you a bit of a challenge wherever you might be listening to these words. How great can we become in Shleisha Dvarim Halalu? Ayin Taiva, Ruach Nemucha, and Nefesh Shefala. Let's work on that during the 3 weeks. Because these three things will bring about, as we began, Ahavas Yisrael, where we're not so medaktik. That will remove the Sinas Chinam and Bezos Hashem, build the Bayis Shlishi. We should be zoicha to emulate Avram Avinu as his Talmidim. I challenge all of us during the 3 weeks to work on these halalu, avayin tayva, ruach nemucha, nefesh shefala, so that be'ezus Hashem we can merit the blessing of the Mishnah. Oichlin ba'olam hazeh, ve'noichlin ha'olam haba. To be able to have both in this world and for eternity. And by emulating these three midas, may we taka bizoicha, to turn the 3 weeks, the 9 days, Be'ezus Hashem, now already this year, may Yogoin l'simcha, may Evel l'yomtev, may Afela l'oira, l'argodol, mishiba l'geula, and may it happen, Be'ezus Hashem, now, b'mheira b'yameinu, amen.